welcome and happy new year to all. I hope you had a great new year. Hope you had time to recharge the batteries. And I know it's going to be a great year. And here we are today again. And we have a very amazing guest on the show tonight. He has a lot of opinions on some interesting subjects that you might not have thought of. And it was very revealing to me when I spoke to him. But great guy, interesting man. Welcome Gary Palmer to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be on with you.
Good. So, Gary, you grew up on a farm, right? So you really know what hard work is about, right?
You bet. It was hard work, but it was good work.
What did you what kind of stuff would you be doing? Like what time, when would you get up in the morning and what kind of ethic was it?
Well, we got up early. We had cattle and hogs, and we grew corn and soybeans. So we always had something to do with animals, and most of the time we'd get up at 5 in the morning to milk the cows. And we couldn't wait. Me and my brothers couldn't wait to get to school. It was easy at school. My dad made us work too hard at home. It taught us some good lessons, sure.
Yeah, and that's the roots of all successful people, is that they have some sort of thing in their upbringing that makes them motivated or spurs them forward. You said that it was you were dealing with animals and livestock. How long were you doing that for? How long were you working on the farm for?
Oh, from the age of probably 11 till I graduated from high school and went into the service.
Tell us a little bit about the service. What did you do there, and what did you learn?
I was in the United States Air Force for 5 years and spent most of my time in Europe. And my last year I spent in Vietnam. It was at the end of the Vietnam War, so I ended up over in Vietnam for my fifth year. I kind of extended a year to go there because usually it's a four-year tour. And they asked if I wanted to extend, and I didn't have any plans, so I was foolish enough to say, "Yeah, I'll go there." But
yeah, it was pretty wild over there, right?
Yeah, wild enough. Yes.
Yeah, wild enough. Exactly. You, when you were in the military, you traveled a lot too, right? You said you were in all over Europe.
I did. Yeah.
So you have this. Yeah, you have this ethic of hard work on the farm, and then you also have this sort of idea of traveling and being worldly, right? Tell us a little bit how that affected you.
Well, the thing that affected me the most is if you wanted to get ahead, you had to – everybody was equal, so you had to gain rank in a hurry if you wanted to be the boss. And so you had to get more education and do more training and volunteer for different things, which I was lucky enough and smart enough, I guess, at the time to do that. But it gave me a lot of opportunities to travel. And when I was in service, I spent 6 months in the United States, and the rest of my time in the service was overseas somewhere.
Where did you go? What kind of places?
Well, I was stationed in England for 3 years, and I was in conventional nuclear weapons. So we took a lot of TDY out of England to different places for bomb testing and different things like that. So I got to see quite a bit of world at a young age, which I really enjoyed doing that. But at the same time, go ahead.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
By doing that, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that career field, but the only thing about it is when you put 5 years into explosives and ordnance, there's not a lot of jobs when you get out of the service.
Interesting.
I enjoyed that when I was in the service, but it didn't give me a big career field to get out in too.
So what was your first job in the industry, and how did that come about?
Well, after college, I had my own businesses. I owned two or three small businesses. And in the summer of 1984, when we had one of the worst recessions on record, we had an opportunity to build a horse racetrack in our city of Altoona. And I happened to be the Chamber of Commerce president at the time and was involved with our local politicians and developers to try to promote to get the horse track within the city limits. So it created jobs and economic development and tourism, because farming was really bad in those days, and retail and development was essentially, there wasn't any of it. So we were looking for anything to help us build our community.
That's amazing. So you were instrumental in getting everything off the ground from day one, right?
Well, I was lucky enough to be I was kind of the follower. I had three very astute businessmen and politicians that I listened to and followed, and they took us down the right path.
Yeah. How did you end up being the president of the Chamber of Commerce?
Oh, I just got involved in the community. My folks always told me to get involved. So I had a couple small businesses. So we got involved in the Chamber of Commerce and the Rotary Club and you know, things to help our community. And that's kind of what got me started in community work.
Now, Prairie Meadows is one of two nonprofit casinos, right? And the other one is also in Iowa. Tell us a little bit about that and how that works.
Yeah, the county that we're in, Polk County, that's the largest county in Iowa, backed the bonds to build the racetrack originally. And we're the nonprofit that runs, we're the management team that runs the casino and the horse track. Originally, it was just a horse track. We opened it up March 1st, 1989, and within about 15 months, we had to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So we knew we had a lot of taxpayer money wrapped up into it. We knew we had to do something, so we went to the legislature here in Iowa to see if we could get casino-style gaming combined with racing, with horse racing. And we went in 93, and we lost by one vote at the last day of the legislature. And we went back in 94, and if we didn't pass it that year, the county was going to have to close this facility down because they weren't going to put any more money into it. And on the last day of the legislature of 1994, we passed the bill by one vote. So we didn't have a lot of bragging rights, but we did have the opportunity to create the first racino in the world was here in Altoona, Iowa, combining racing with casino-style gaming.
That's amazing. And was that an idea that you guys came up with to be able to resurrect the race, you know, the community? Because it sounds like it went really badly in terms of the horse racing, but you had to be creative, right?
We had to. We had too much at stake. The county at that time had about $40 million tied up into this project of the taxpayers. And needless to say, the taxpayers weren't too happy about it, and we weren't either, because we wanted to make success out of it for jobs and economic development and tourism. So we had to get something there. So when they passed the bill in 94, we were able to remodel and retrofit, if you will, our racetrack into a racino. And when we opened it on April 1st, 1995, the county had invested over $90 million into this project. And we were wishing and hoping it worked. And,
there was a lot on the line.
The first few weeks was so successful, we would have to let people out of the building before we let more in it, because the fire marshal, we were exceeding all the fire ordinance. So
unbelievable.
We thought, man, this could be something good. So 20 months later, we paid the county back $90 million plus interest. And we've been able to stay debt-free ever since that time.
That's amazing. Unbelievable. What a story. Incredible. So,
and the great part is,
how did it
go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the great part about it is all the money that we make today, being the largest and probably the most successful casino in the state of Iowa, is all our money goes back to our community. We give back in excess of $40 million in profits every year to our community to help people in need and to lessen the burden of government.
Right, right. You're fueling that back into the system, right, to help you out.
Yep. It's community
effort. That's amazing. Incredible.
Very well.
Yeah. What do you think it was about the way that you, the combination and the way it was launched, and what was the secret to making it so successful?
We didn't know any better, probably. We knew that we had to. And, you know, there's a lot of great minds helping on this. Our whole community got behind us. And how are we going to make it work? And we had to go out and hire the right people. Naturally, we weren't in the casino business. We didn't know anything about it. So we had to go out and find the right people and home grow a lot of them, which we did, and get off on the right foot, which, thank the dear Lord, we got off on the right foot, and things just started to click in the right direction. So that we found that as a nonprofit casino, which most people, when they hear that, they wonder if you know what you're saying. But it is a nonprofit, you know, that really do we do very, very well in revenue generation, and we have very little expenses. We really have a tight ship we run, and it just works out very well. We have over 1,400 employees, 24/7, and we have three labor unions. We're a union shop. And we do very well, and our people do very well, and it's just a great community effort.
That's amazing. Gary, you said something when you just spoke. You said we homegrown them. What do you mean by that?
Well, a lot of the people, you know, naturally we didn't have casinos in Iowa. So in order to get these 1,400 employees, we had to hire a bunch of people that had no casino experience. And so we had to bring them in and train them as CFAs, casino floor attendants, dealers, table game dealers. And it was quite a challenge first because we had to train all these people because most of them didn't have any idea what the casino business was like. So they learned it from the scratch. We hired the right people to train all of us how to run a casino. And it's just worked out very well. But a lot of them's local people. You know, people ask me, you've been in the business a long time. How many casinos have you worked at? And I said, one. This one. Iowa, that's where I've learned everything in one place. But we've had a lot of good teachers, and we've done a lot of reading, and we do a lot of traveling. And through all these years that I've been involved in, we've learned a lot. And we have a tremendous staff that's just aces up, that really know what they're doing, and they really produce.
Yeah, and you know, when we spoke before the show, when you were telling me about the how you got involved with this and how it kind of evolved, it's a very different kind of story because you were behind the whole concept and then ran into adversity. And then made it work on the second try. And that's really, it goes back to your roots, I think, you know, the hard work ethic and never giving up. What keeps your guests coming back to the casino?
Well, we're constantly remodeling and recreating ourselves. We ourselves know that we get tired of going to the same restaurant all the time or the same shopping center if it stays the same. So our philosophy has been for years to remodel, repaint, change the casino floor around, and we're constantly doing something all the time. It never stops. But our customers mention it all the time. Even our employees like the change because it's not the same old all the time. And we feel if you treat the customers right and you give them a great variety, they're going to keep coming. And for us, that's what's happened, and it continues to happen. But we have to constantly think of new things to do and new ways to do them, and it works for us. It's that variety that people enjoy.
Well, yeah, you had said to me it's like the amusement park. They have a new ride every year, right?
You've got to give them a reason to come back, and that's exactly right. And it works, you know, constantly. We have to get new slot machines in. We have to get new carnival games. We have to do different things with our table games. So there's always a challenge. There's always new things. And, you know, today in the gaming industry, especially, say, table games, side bets are a big deal. You know, you want to get side bets on most of your games. People really enjoy that. It's really important how many chairs you have at a table. Slot machines, you have to have a great variety. I remember when we put all this together in 1994, to buy the slot machines, we had two selections. We had either Bally's or IGT. That was it. There was no other manufacturers you could buy from. Today, I couldn't name how many manufacturers there are because of the proliferation of gaming in America. We've got a lot of choices.
Yeah.
But you've got to make sure you do the right choices so your customers enjoy it and they keep coming back for their recreational fun during nights and days and weekends.
Yeah, you got to give them a reason to get to come back. That's what you
Yep. And you got to
treat them, always said.
Treat them like family. And we do that.
Yeah, treat them like family.
We're pretty much a locals place because we're in central Iowa. We are located right on Interstate 80, which we have a lot of traffic coming by every day and a lot of visitors off the interstate. But a good part of our business, naturally, are a repeat business from our local community. And they want to come somewhere where the people are friendly, the place is clean, and we have clean restrooms, we have great food. We have a convention hall here with a big new convention that we just remodeled again after 10 years. It's completely new as of 2 months ago. Hotel that's got the highest occupancy in Polk County. That's our region.
Wow.
There's a lot of things going right, and it's because of our great employees and the great customer service that we give to people when they come here.
Yeah, they really remember that, like they're part of the family.
We treat them like we like to be treated when we go somewhere. And it just works.
Yeah. Friendliness and cleanliness.
It does it. Pretty simple.
Yeah. What are some
but it works.
Yeah, pretty simple stuff. Yeah. What are some of the qualities people need to learn and work on to stay on top of their game?
Well, we've constantly got to look at new ways of doing things, and we want to work smarter, not harder. And we want to look sharp. We want to feel sharp. We want to make sure. I've been in a lot of casinos in my life, and I tell you, there's some in my life that I've gone into. As soon as I walk in the front door, I can tell you I don't want to be there. I can tell the employees aren't happy. Something's going wrong. And if the employees aren't happy, why do I want to go in there? And
yeah.
We try to keep our people happy. We've got they look sharp. They feel sharp, and most of it is kind of like old home week because we know so many of the people. And in the summertime, we laugh because it's like the farmer's market. Everybody's bringing sweet corn to somebody or watermelon. It's just the friendliness stuff that they've developed through these years.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that. That's good stuff. You have a unique way of training people, right, when you hire them. Can you explain a little bit about that? They have to know every department, and
but we have
they need some nonprofit, you know, that kind of stuff. Can you explain a little bit about all that?
Well, we do a good orientation for our new employees that come in and give them a good history, a 3-day training on our history and different regulations because we're so highly regulated. But they need to know why we're established, and that is we're owned by the community, and we're here to help our community. And it's so important that we never forget that. While you do all those things, we also have and develop what we call Prairie Meadows University, where we give our people a chance to go through training at our partner's Drake University here in Des Moines. Of a professional training lesson or program, if you will, for succession and for leadership development. And it all ties around customer service and community. So they all know what we expect of them and what's expected by this company to continue to be successful. And it's worked very, very well for us.
Yeah, it's a great orientation, right?
It is, and it gives reason people reason to stick with our company. They know there's a future. They get to work in different departments. As you know, you get a place this big. A lot of times you can be a slot attendant for years and never see anybody in food and beverage or in accounting or the marketing departments. But during this training program that we have, you get to work in all these different departments to see what your peers get to do and what they deal with every day. It's very educational, and a lot of times people will find out, you know, I'd like to transfer departments. This department intrigues me. I would like to be in accounting instead of CFA, or I want to go into IT, or I want to go into the marketing program or hospitality. So it's good to let everybody see what everybody else has to do and what they have to complete to get their job done.
Yeah, that's and they also have to know how hard they're working, right? You guys explained them up front. There's no such thing as a 40-hour work week, right?
Not if you're going to succeed in management. There's no such thing as a 40-hour work week. We put a lot of hours in because we enjoy it, to be honest with you. But we work a lot of weekends. We work when people are here. A lot of Mondays, we don't need all of us to be here because there's not much going on. So you've got to know that you've got to work weekends and holidays at this job, and that's when the people are here, and that's when we have to have people here to serve them. And sometimes it takes a while for people to get used to that, because if you come from a 5-day-a-week, Monday through Friday job, sometimes you think your weekends are pretty sacred, and they are. But in the entertainment business, you have to work when the people are here, not when you want to work. So you get to learn the work on the holidays and on the weekends and at nights. But I tell you, with all that, it sure makes the whole thing a success.
Yeah. It's a lot of teamwork and a lot of working together. Gary, talk to me about the future, a little bit about the future of gaming and where we're headed. There's so much gaming in the United States right now. What's going to happen?
Well, this is my opinion. And, you know, statistics show that 25% of adults over 21 like to gamble. That's our market, 25% of the people over 21. And, again, you have to change things. People say, well, what's going to happen when this generation dies off? Do the younger people want the type of machines and slot machines we have today? The answer is no. They'll be here, but they don't want to do that. So we have to, the manufacturers in this industry and we, the casinos, have to keep up with the times and have the games that the people in that generation want to play. We know that 45 to above is our biggest market because that's the people that are empty nesters. They have a little bit more money to spend on recreational gaming. And when someone's 45, next year someone else is going to be 45, or somebody's going to be 75, and next year somebody's going to be 74, it works. The people just keep coming. They don't go away because one generation leaves. So we have to be ready for them when they come. Is it in sports betting, which is a big thing that we're all talking about right now? Is it in e-gaming? What is it that the people that's coming up through the different generations, what do they want? Well, we're all working on that and trying to figure out what that is because that's our market. If they don't like what they're playing, they're not going to come out. So that's our challenge in the game.
Yeah.
Our games are going to have to change with the people that's coming up. But in my opinion, they're still going to be there. When I was younger and couldn't afford to gamble, I didn't gamble. I didn't even think about it. But as I got older and I liked gaming, I do it. And a lot of friends of mine do as well, but they didn't do it when they were in their 20s because they didn't have the money to do it. They were raising families or 30s, but when they got to the age they had a little extra money, that's when they turned to enjoy gaming. A lot of people do. So we just have to have the right games for those people when they come out, and whenever it is, if it's 5 years from now or 10 years or 20 years, we have to evolve with the temperature of the people coming out or we're going to be in trouble, and that's our challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, just like when people were putting in the first slot machines, people had no idea what they were and were like, what's that? Just the same kind of idea. We need something like that, right?
Yeah, and you know, we were founded, you know, Columbus and Americans have always been gamblers. If it's in farming or in business or in recreational gaming, we're gamblers. That's just the way it is. And you may gamble in different ways. It may be the stock market, may be your thing. But the Americans are going to gamble. That's just the way it goes. So you have to find out what the people like, and you have to provide it, and you'll have all the business you want if you do that.
Why do you think they're gamblers? Why are they like that?
It's the American way. You know,
the American way.
I've had businesses in development that you are taking a gamble. And, you know, sometimes,
yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it doesn't. But if it doesn't work, you just start over and try again. You don't give up. You just keep moving on. And that's kind of the saga of Prairie Meadows. We didn't give up. We kept thinking, how are we going to make this thing successful? We've spent too much time, money, and effort to not make it work. And I'm talking about hundreds and thousands of people in this area, stuck together and made this thing work. And it's fun.
It's a lot of fun. When we last spoke, you said something to me that I'll never forget. There was three things you said that were the core things to remember in life. Number one, family first, business second. Number two, to help the community be a better place. And number three, hard work. Life is simple if you let it be. Explain that.
Amen.
Yeah.
I do believe that. And you know, Thomas Jefferson coined a saying a long time ago, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Think about that a little
bit.
That's a truism.
Yeah.
It works. Believe
it is.
Me, it works.
Yeah. Like birds of a feather flock together, right?
That's right. And here,
there's no question about that.
If you don't work here, you don't work here. And, you know, we all have to produce. We all have to do our thing, or we have to get someone else to do it, because we don't have any jobs that you don't produce at. And we want them to have fun.
Yeah, it's always
career. But you got to enjoy your job. If you don't, you won't do very good at it. That's for sure.
Yeah, you won't succeed if you don't love what you do, especially when you're working that much, that hard, right?
There's no question about it. This is a crazy thing. My wife and I have come over to Prairie Meadows about every Saturday and Sunday for 20-some years for lunch. And I mean, we stop at McDonald's or somewhere and eat lunch in a parking lot. And I sit there and just watch people coming in, how clean the parking lot is, who's working that day. I mean, I know who's in the manager's lots, who's not. But that's the love we have of the place. I mean, that's just a routine, and people just laugh their heads off. And they look for us on the weekend sitting here eating. And we've done it all these years. And as long as I can do it, I'll continue to do it. But it's fun, it's exciting, and it's just part of loving a place and wanting to succeed. And we have dozens, hundreds of employees that work here that feel the same way about the passion of Prairie Meadows.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's a lot of character. A lot of character. It's a great place. And a great saying. I'll never forget that. Should we take a couple of calls?
Sure.
Let's do it. Hello, this is Tito Magnetta. I have Gary Palmer on the line. You have a question for him?
Is that going to me? Am I first?
Hello, how are you?
Hi, good. This is Alicia Leet, Regional Account Director at Market Smart. Hi, Gary. How are you?
I'm fine. Yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm in the boonies driving back from the Mississippi Delta. So hopefully I will be able to keep on the line. Tino and Golly, thank you so much for inviting me to your show tonight. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you. And, Gary, I want to first start and say thank you. Yes, I do. I want to first start by saying thank you so much for your service. I have called back in like four times trying to get all of your story while the rural areas hit my cell phone coverage, but it's been great. And also, I think this is such a unique model of a nonprofit casino. I've been to so many casinos across the country, and when I was working in player development, I'm very envious because it would have been so nice to say to my players, well, you lost a little bit of money, but you are bettering the community one lost dollar at a time. And I never get to say that. So at least your people at your casino get to say that, and you really feel like you're helping the community, which is an amazing model. for. I feel like casinos should follow that in the future. But my question is more about your tenure. A lot of times in this business, I've seen really brilliant leaders who are diligent, motivated, hardworking, get moved around the country through various executive positions or leadership positions. And you have been there since the beginning and evolved with the property as the property has evolved. How have you been able to maintain such a figurehead role and be able to stay at one casino for your most of your career?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I grew up here, so I've got all my family and friends here in this area, and this is where I'm going to stay till they carry me away, if you know what I mean. It's such a great property, and watching this develop it through the years and how we help so many people that need help. We give out every year, again, tens of millions of dollars to help nonprofits that are so important in our community, and that work does something for me. I couldn't go anyplace else that I would feel as good at, to be truthful with you. I'm treated great here. I've got a staff that anyone would die for, to be truthful with you. And our results, to be able to drive up and down the streets and see new libraries, new police stations, new bridges, new schools because of what we do is really self-satisfying, to be truthful with you. It's a wonderful model. Why more people don't do it, and it's tough. The politicians that did it back in the 80s, two of the three that led the political move on it lost their job because of it. They were voted out of office. The gentleman that started it with us was from our area. He was the chairman of the Board of Supervisors at the time. He only won by 13 votes in that same voting area. So they put everything on the line for the community because at that time it was questionable. We had spent a lot of money. We went bankrupt in the horse racing, and the taxpayers didn't like it. So we knew the next gamble that we pulled better work. And, again, thank the Lord, it worked, and it worked very well for us. And then things changed, but the politicians that would – in a community would back bonds for, say, a gaming facility, you really got to be tough because you're going to face some opposition to that. And we had the tough politicians in this area to stand up to that, even though quite a few of them lost their job because of it, but they did it for the community.
Well, thank you for that. It's a really interesting model. I hope that we get to see more of that in the future.
Thank you.
So I get
Thank
to ask
you
another
so much.
Question.
Did you have another question?
Oh,
absolutely. Go
I
ahead.
Do. I have one more, and then I promise I'm done.
Yeah, take
I'm
your time. No,
service.
No problem.
Thank
yeah.
you. So I was listening in earlier, and I know you said you have to keep a tight ship and budget your financials appropriately, maybe more so because you are a nonprofit. So how do you pick promotions that are going to seem like really exciting for your guests, but also budget-friendly for your organization? And what has been successful for your property in the recent year or two?
Well, you know, it's trial and error when you do things. And we've got a good marketing budget that, you know, we've got this year's $15 million marketing budget. We spend money on marketing, but it does pay off. But, you know, the giveaways always bring people in. We time them at the right time. We do quality gifts, and Katie bar the door when we have them because they're coming by the carloads, and they stay, which is nice. You know, a lot of people will come and get their gift and leave, but we have found here that people do come and they like it, and we've set up a system where when you come, you can get a ticket. You don't have to pick up your gift right then. You can go up and play for a few hours, pick it up when you leave without worrying about us running out, and car promotions as well, you know, on slot tournaments and stuff work very well for us. But it's trial and error. We try a lot of things. It's hard to pinpoint one or two because we do a lot of different things. And after we do the performance and the post-performers on them, if they don't work, we don't do them again. We're constantly monitoring what we do, if it works, if it doesn't work. and that we don't waste much time or money on something that doesn't work. We kind of put it in file 13 and move on for the next one. And we have a marketing department that's magnificent, always thinking of new ideas and new things to do. And our whole company, all our teams work together on promotions. We bring everybody in together to help with the people that come out. So it works. It's just very well. It's just a good variety. And some things I often wonder, I'll be honest with you, why people would come out for this item or that item, but they come out by the droves. They enjoy that. And we make it so it's not free. They have to have so many points in order to qualify for those gifts. So they're earning them. We're just not giving it to them. But, you know, promotion. And it works. It just works in our market.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for answering
Great.
My question.
Thanks a lot for calling in. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Of course.
Great stuff. Great questions. Have a great evening.
Thank you. I'm sure I'll have more if you want to ask me again, but I'll be quiet for now.
Okay, you got it. Okay, that was good questions. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Gary Palmer?
Aloha, Tino. Mike Hanui, how's it going?
Mike, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great. How are you guys doing today?
Good. We've got a great guest on the show. We can hear you very well.
Perfect. Gary, you know, again, thank you for your service. That's tremendous. You know, you've spent so many years in the industry, and particularly at one property, as the prior person indicated. But, you know, one of the things I always like to ask, you know, what are some of your pet peeves as an operator? And what do you do to kind of make sure that you are addressing those through your business? Could you hear all that?
Hello?
This one, too. Can you hear me now?
Gary?
Yep.
Hold on. Gary, are you there?
Yeah. Yep.
We lost you there for a sec. Go ahead.
Oh, really? Okay. One of my pet peeves.
Sorry,
can you hear
me now? Yeah, now we can. Go ahead.
Okay. My pet peeves is if our employees aren't well-dressed, if they don't look properly cleaned up, if our trash cans ever get full, I probably go through the casino 3 or 4 times a day just looking around, either the employees and the guests, the people that I know. We know a lot of them because we've been here a long time. But our eyes are open all the time to what's going on. And we want our place to look nice all the time. We want our employees to look good, and we want our customers to be happy. If they're not, we want to hear about it.
That's a great point. You know, let me just ask a follow-up question. You know, you talk about the pet peeves. It's one element of it. The other element, of course, is your team. You know, your team makes everything happen. And so what do you do to help, you know, kind of encourage the growth of your team, help support them so that you have that succession plan and moving forward?
Yes, we have, as I mentioned earlier, we have Prairie Meadows University. It's a training program that people have to qualify for. They go through the history. They work in all the different departments that we have here at Prairie Meadows, so they get to see what everyone else does. Everyone wants a future, and there's some people that want to escalate themselves and some people that are very good at what they do and they don't want to grow. You know, really grow. They're pretty happy what they do. But we constantly meet as a team, a leadership team. We constantly survey our employees of how they're feeling. Do they have ideas how we can make it better for the customers? And when you ask them their opinion, they really like it because the frontline people in particular, they know exactly what we need better. They hear it every day or they see it every day. Communication is a big deal.
That's a good point. You know, communication is often the cure to most of our problems. And I think that's just tremendous of what you're doing. One final question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
When you talked about hard work, and I'm a firm believer that that's such a core component to having success in this business. But how do you determine that in an interview? What kind of questions do you ask to kind of root out you know, whether or not it, you know, you can gauge how hardworking an individual may be.
Well, as you know, it's tough in an interview because I've interviewed a lot of people in my work life, and I've been fooled a couple of times. Sometimes it's just got to be a gut feeling on people. Again, it's their appearance, it's questions they ask. If the first question they ask is how much vacation time do I get and how quick can I get it, we're probably not very interested in them. Or if they answer their cell phone or send a text while we're interviewing them, they're not a candidate for us either. But most of the time, as most of us know, sometimes it's just got to be a gut feeling of their appearance, the way they answer questions. And then the real test, sometimes it's costly, is when they start working for you. Then the real truth comes out. Were they just a professional interviewer that doesn't know how to work? Or are they a person that's sincere and they really do want to work and they do want a good career and a good job?
No, very well said. You know, Gary, I thank you for your time. You're a gentleman and a scholar, sir. I wish you tremendous success.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Michael. Have a good day.
Have a good one, Tino.
Bye-bye. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Gary Palmer?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Tino and Gary. This is Heidi Antizana from Temecula, California.
Hello.
A happy 2019 to both of you, and an abundant one at that, too.
Thank you so much.
So, Gary, I'm incredibly passionate about the topic of personal branding and company branding and the experience that one creates for our guests as a result of that. If you had to give as one or two words to describe the brand Prairie Meadows and what it stands for, what would those words be?
In our community, it's a private-public partnership, and that means the county and the management team here at Prairie Meadows that form the brand, and the people in our community know that means it's a company that gives all their profits back to help the community. And that's important here. A stranger driving by on the interstate really doesn't know what Prairie Meadows means. That's for sure. But our local business, and you know, marketing and branding is so important. And you know, there's been an old saying that I learned in college years ago: don't ever give away or sell in your store, no matter what you do, something that doesn't have your name on it. And we like to brand our items everywhere we can, so when people buy a nice sweater or a jacket or a hat from our gift shops here at Prairie Meadows, it definitely has our name on it, and it's very professionally put on this, on the articles. So we do want people to know where they receive these articles.
Sure.
And come back, and hopefully when they look at that name, Prairie Meadows, they have a good feeling and a good memory of their visit here to Prairie Meadows.
So would you say, you know, how would you describe the casino in one or two words if somebody had never come through there? How would you describe your brand? Would it be a memorable experience? Would it be friendly? That's what I'm getting at. Sorry, Gary.
It would be a grand experience. When you come here, it always looks new. You've got so many things to do. You can, you know, we've got a hotel, we've got a convention center, we have a lot of conventions.
Sure.
We've got table games, we go to poker room, we have all kinds of casino style gaming. We've got about 7 restaurants, so it's a great entertainment experience when you come to Prairie Meadows.
Okay, and another question I had: how do you get your teams to live the brand of Prairie Meadows?
Well, I have to say it's quick and easy. It's leadership. We at the top have to emulate what we want. We have to act like we want to act.
Mm.
If you act it, you get it. It's hard to ask people to look good every day and treat people nice if you don't do it yourself. And we want internal customers, our employees, to be treated as nice as our external And it just works out good that way. And we have high standards for our employees, really high standards, and it does pay off.
I love that, because that's often what comes out when, if I'm working with people, is they say, you know, can't you get our management team to do what you're asking us to do first? So leading by example, that's absolutely awesome.
That's
I love
exactly
that.
Right.
And the last question, if I may, Tino.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and Gary, I previously asked you to describe your casino in one word as a brand. So how would you describe the personal brand, Gary Palmer, in one word?
Compassionate.
Love it.
That was easy.
Love it. And compassion is one of the pillars for the trust factor, for people to trust in you. You need to be compassionate. So well done on that, and thank you so much. It's been very great insights to hear from you tonight, and thank you, Tino.
Thank you, man.
No problem. Thank you, Haley. Have a great evening.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye. That was funny. That's great stuff. You had no problems with that one, that's for sure.
It didn't take me long to figure that one out, did it?
didn't take you too long to figure that one out. This is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Gary Palmer?
Tino, hi, good evening. This is Oz from Gambling Insider. We're the industry media. And good evening
nice
to you as well,
you.
Gary. And it's
hi.
Nice to meet you, sir. Hi, Gary. Pleasure to hear all the positive stuff and the business model you've got going over there. And congratulations for the 30 years of that you're celebrating at Prairie Meadows as well.
Thank you.
I guess the question I wanted to really ask you was more of a reflection of your two decades there. If let's say tomorrow you decided to come in and announce that you was hanging up your spurs and you was going to just go home and enjoy your garden and your grandchildren, what would you look back at as being legacy and perhaps over the two decades that you've been there, the standout moments for you?
Well, there's been a lot of them, but again, it's the fact that, you know, our big thing here is succession planning.
Right.
In all our departments, it's, you know, if I win the lottery tomorrow, it should be another day when I decide to go enjoy my new airplane or whatever. It's just another day at Prairie Meadows. They just continue to go on. They're trained. They've got the same passion that I have for this business. Our up-and-coming leaders know the business. They know what this company expects. And we've got people that's sitting in that position. And I would feel terrible about my career if I left and the place went down because I didn't teach the people the right way to do things. You've got to give them autonomy. You've got to give them rope to do their thing. Micromanagement isn't one of the things I enjoy doing. Matter of fact, I refuse to do it. If our top leaders here or any of our leaders that we pay for and give responsibility, if they can't do their job, we have to get someone else to do it. I'm not going to do it for them. We pay them to do it. We train them, and we give them our respect and everything we can do to help them get their job done. So, in other words, you train your people that if I leave tomorrow, it's just another day at Prairie Meadows. Things continue to do well, and our philosophy continues to go on through the years.
That's fantastic. That is genuinely great leadership. And just one other question from, let's say, from a more business point of view. You talked earlier about at the early stages of the business, there was maybe a couple of suppliers, and now we've got a myriad of suppliers from not just in the US, internationally. How do you see those new innovations that you need where you've talked about the changeover from the current generation, the 45 plus, the 70-year-olds that are there, to the new, let's say, the millennials and those coming in, getting them engaged with games of their era and looking at those relationships with your vendors and the new innovations and how that will fit the personality and character of the casino?
Well, I tell you, I think that's one of the most important things we have today in the casino business is making sure those revelations happen because things are changing, and we have to be ready for them. so they're ready for us. And there is a change, and everyone can see that coming, but we need to be ready for that. And really, through the generations, they really have been, you know, going from the days of the coin machine to the ticket in, ticket out, what a great
right.
invention that was. And then going to the penny machines, it's not really penny machines. We constantly have to reinvent ourselves in this industry. And there's so many smart people today in this industry and so many of these new suppliers. And the technology is out of this world. We all go to G2E and places like that. That's the biggest that we go to.
Right.
To see some of the new innovations and creations that just blow your mind, how these things work and the interest people have in them. And I don't see that ever stopping. I see that continuing. And we need that for our industry, but I can really see that happening. And right now, the big deal is sport betting.
Right.
You know, small margin, but a great
yep.
casinos to add just a little bit of piece to their pie and have fun with it. But
absolutely.
Some people, you know, you don't want to think that if you get sports betting, you're going to make hundreds of millions of dollars, because that's not going to happen. But
all right.
But you're going to have an opportunity to bring new people, younger people, into your properties to have fun. And at the same time, they'll eat and drink and probably bet on horses or play table games or slot machines. So
absolutely.
All these things, it all
yeah.
helps.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, yeah. That's fantastic. So you'd be an advocate.
Great.
If I were to pass, and this will be the last, I promise, if I were to pass that as the House and Senate and green light, sports betting in the state, then there's no doubt you would find that opportunity to implicate it into the casino, to the racetracks, because I think when we report on that in the media and we look at racetracks, and there's been comments that in some areas racetrack attendance has dwindled a little bit, but by having the sports book and having the ability to have sports betting and possibly the opportunity to have in-state online sports betting as well will bolster those numbers and bring more in. I would imagine it's something you'd welcome as and when that happens.
We think that exactly. And
right.
to top it, right now, finishing up our clubhouse where we simulcast and putting areas in there for sports betting. We're doing it before we even pass the law because we think it's going to happen, and we will be
Excellent.
Ready for it.
Fantastic. That sounds great. Well, I will keep a close eye, and hopefully I'll get my guys to maybe look at doing an interview and an editorial with you at some point. That would be great. That would
be great. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Pleasure to speak
Thank
you
so much.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Great questions. Hello, this is Tino Magnata. I have Gary Palmer on the line.
Hey, Gary. Tino. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on now.
Yep.
We couldn't hear you for a sec, but there you are.
Jacques Romero, a great great story, great model, Gary.
Thank you.
Hey, reading, all the things, great things you've done over the years, from all the donations, the betterment grants, legacy grants, the scholarship programs and all that, I'm sure you're proud of all of that. So I wouldn't want you to choose on maybe what you're most proud of, but maybe in recent history, what are some of the more unique or interesting programs you found?
Well, you know, it's kind of a continuation of refining and making things better. Again, we've been giving a large sums of money to our community since 1996, and we've got a grants program that we run through this business, and giving away money is not easy. You know, I always thought, I'd love to be associated with someone to give all the money back to the community. Well, we found out when we could do that, it's not that easy. We have different stringent qualifications that you have to have by doing that. But at the same time, you do reach a reputation of being a qualified business that is really doing a lot to help your community. Someone mentioned earlier that it must be nice to have customers say, you know, I might be spending a little bit more than I want to, but it goes to help other people. You would not believe how many of our customers say that. They do believe that, and it's a fact, so it's good reason to believe it. But, you know, we just keep being pioneers in innovation and creating new experiences for our customers. And I couldn't pinpoint one because we just try to every day do something different and start working on new plans for a year from now, for 5 years from now. But we are, our philosophy is you've got to be ever-changing if you want to stay on top. And we are in top in the state. We're number one in the state. But you're only going to stay there if you continue to grow and to prosper and to reinvent yourself. If you start to slip down, it's ever so hard to get back up on top again, and we know that. So every day around here is fun, excitement, and finding ways that we can make it better. I'm not sure that answers your question, but that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Oh, no, great. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Great stuff. You have any other questions, Jacques?
Well, if you can identify one out, I was reading through what you're doing, very interesting items like the Justice League of Food or the Memorial for Fallen Police Officers, those type things. If maybe you had a recent memory of some, you know, one of those interesting projects that maybe you could share, if other communities or people would be interested in beginning programs like that.
Well, yeah, one is, you know, because of today, safety today, we just finished helping our local police department, the Des Moines Police Department, get cameras for all the policemen.
Right.
We think that was very important in our community, and we've helped several other local police departments on cameras and do things like that. We're a big leader here with a couple other large companies that we do the Wreaths of America that put wreaths on all the veterans' graves at Christmas time. And we've been involved in that. And that costs
a
lot of money to do that. Because more and more veterans are dying all the time because of our ages, you know. But it's great to be able to see that all that's done for the families and for the veterans of our country. But, I mean, again, we're involved in libraries. We're involved in event centers that we finance for our community, school projects. I mean, there's so many important ones, I don't think I could pinpoint one, to be honest with you.
I wouldn't ask you to. That answers the question great. That's what's interesting and incredible. Not only can you give back to the community financially, but just with the camera example, giving back to the community and helping the community be safer. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Jacques. Really appreciate it. Have a great evening. Okay. That was amazing. Thank you so much, Gary. So, Gary, just to end it here, family first, business second, to help the community be a better place, hard work. Life is simple if you let it be. Correct?
You got it. That's it.
I love that.
Anyway.
I love it. Gary, thanks so much for being on the show. It's been an incredible episode, and I'm looking forward to having you back on in the near future.
Well, thank you so much for letting us come on and talk with you. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Gary. You have a great evening.
You too. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you. Now, that was great. It's not every day that you get to talk to a guy like that and the setup he has over there and all the stories and everything. Next week, we have a great show, Thursday, January 17th, Anika Howard. I've known her for years. She's the VP of Brand Marketing at Foxwoods. And it's going to be a show to remember. She has a story to tell us that is pretty incredible. And remember, everybody has a story to tell. You just have to have time to listen. Have a great week, and God bless everybody. Thank you.